Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions. Well, maybe. Life is a fight. In business, every day is a fight. So, hey, what's your problem?
Yes, thank you, John David Wells. Getting distracted on the front end of this thing. Thank you. What do you need, a water? Okay. Water? You're all good? Okay. Nothing like getting into the podcast by getting people water. That'll certainly hold an audience. This is the What's Your Problem podcast from the Big Dot HQ in Spring Hill, Tennessee. Brought to you by BigDotLighting.com, BigDotElectrical.com. If you have electrical problems, we have electrical solutions. Of course, the Octave Light is part of the Big Dot Inc. family. Check it out. If you have a building to light up and you want to peacock it and colorize it and all that fun stuff, let us know. That's something the Octave Light can certainly do. The What's Your Problem podcast is a podcast of four business owners and professionals who have problems. And knowing if you're in business in this day and age, you got something going on because it's always something. I am your host, Jim McCarthy with JimMcCarthyVoiceovers.com. And today, we got a special guest coming down a little bit beyond the Middle Tennessee area, coming down from Hopkinsville, Kentucky, right?
That's right.
That's right. Please welcome to the show. I'm waiting for my music to come down so I can hit the applause here. So, to reveal the fourth wall. Mr. Darren Hunt.
Yay!
All right.
There
thank
we
you.
Go.
Thank you.
Yes. He's like, I have a proper reception. You're used to hearing that kind of stuff whenever you do your thing, right?
Hey, man. Some days are better than others.
Because you're big. You're a tractor puller, right?
Some days.
And you hear every time you finish your pulls. I'm completely outside of the circle of
doing
what
good
this
so
is.
Far.
You hear that sound, right?
That's the goal.
That's you know that whenever you've done right, you hear.
Yep.
Right.
If you can hear that over what I do, you've done a really good job.
And hooting and hollering.
That's
of
right.
All sorts.
Yeah, beer drinking, hooting and hollering.
That's
you know,
right.
High fiving. Everybody having a good time.
So this is the first time you and I are meeting ever.
Indeed.
And we're going to start everything with the random five like we normally do. This is like a get to know you random five questions. Gets the energy and juices flowing. Are you ready? He's like, do I have a choice? No.
Born ready, baby. How's
that's
it?
Right. Question number one, which is more important, a great car or a great house, and why?
Definitely a great house, because that's where you guys spend most of your time, right?
That's right. What are some goals you have already achieved?
Some goals I've already achieved?
Yeah.
Wow. In the professional world, I guess, sales goals and stuff like that, monetary sales goals, I feel like I've done pretty good with that.
Yeah.
Rising up from the bottom of the company, coming up to a whole good salesman's good. In the sport of trucker tractor pulling, two-time national champ, definitely was a big goal of mine.
Right.
So
I'm going to be schooled on this episode, I believe.
Hey, buddy, we're good.
Where is the most uncomfortable place you have ever slept?
On the floor of an enclosed trailer.
That'd be pretty uncomfortable.
Well, it depends on what
I almost,
you had to do before that.
I almost slept in a car after a college party.
Down by the river?
No, it was. I was like the DD, so everybody else was having a good time, and it was during winter in Connecticut, so I had to keep the heat on.
Yep.
Which is probably dangerous.
Just slight, only
a
slightly.
Little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
What
windows caused, down in the garage would be worse.
Oh yeah. Yes. Question five.
Four.
Are we in four or five? Four. Okay. What cause? I'm a radio guy. I don't know math. What causes the most harm in the world, but is completely avoidable?
People.
Boom! And finally, do you like spicy food? Why or why not? I'm going to skip. That's a stupid question. I don't like that one.
I'm good.
What's the worst thing you have ever tasted?
The worst thing I have ever tasted.
What was your name?
Squid. Close enough. Hey-o. Squid, right? I mean, that counts, right?
Well, there you go. Ah, man, I love it. You gotta love those things when those just little random stuff comes out of my mouth.
Hey, it's the small things on Mondays, man.
So you got into sales. You're a young guy. I would presume.
I feel older than I am most days.
But you look like you're not even 30 yet. Am I wrong?
No, yes, you are wrong.
Okay.
But I appreciate that.
Early 30s.
I am early 30s.
Okay. But at least, you know, you have that look of looking like you're, I don't know, I would say 28, 29. That's a good thing.
So far.
Yeah.
We're off to a good start.
How long have you been doing sales, and how did this everything transpire for you leading up to where you are?
Man, I tell you, my story is kind of a fun one for me. I guess I've been doing sales since 2014.
Right.
Up to now. My family owns H&R AgriPower, or did own H&R AgriPower. Today, I'm proud to say we're 100% ESOP, which is an employee stock ownership program.
Right.
So our employees own the company, so it's great. So as an employee, hey, I still get to own the company, right? So, right. But I started doing that when I was 16 years old. I was a big athlete in high school and college and stuff. So I wanted a place to work. So I started going to the business side. We farmed 10,000 acres in the south end of Christian County, Kentucky as well.
Beautiful area.
I'm pretty partial to it, mm-hmm. but you know. So
the grass is kind of blue.
Some days.
Yeah.
Only if the sun hits it right, though.
Yeah.
But I started unpacking parts and sweeping the parts warehouse when I was 16. Slowly transitioned into a part sales role in my later years up until college. Right. Worked through the business that way. Did a little bit in the service department as well, doing some AFS precision guidance stuff because I'm a techie guy, right? Because I'm younger, so everybody expects that. So being on the farm, get to operating that stuff, you know, building that familiarity with it and everything. We also got into setting up the equipment. I want to know how everything works. I'm a big knowledge guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to know a little bit about a lot of things, but not a whole lot about anything. That's kind of how I get by.
You're like a utility player in a way.
I try to be.
Right.
I try to be. Well, and my goal was, you know, when I was a little kid, I wanted to sell farm equipment. That's what I wanted to do. I enjoy people.
You were brought up around it. Makes sense.
That's right. Yeah. I enjoy people. I enjoy the business. I got to see, you know, our salesmen, you know, interact with my dad and my grandpa at the farm,
right.
You know, and then coming up through the company. When I graduated college, I took 2 years off, went down to the farm. I wanted to learn how to run what we sold.
Right.
If I was going to sell equipment,
I wanted
to be able to work it and tell my customers how to operate it.
Totally. Amen.
So then AgriPower called me. AgriPower. Sorry, I get that country power thing in there. But AgriPower called me to go down. We merged with Willie German around the Memphis, Tennessee area. And we went down there, and I was supposed to be down there for 2 weeks and help them inventory the store, kind of help everybody transition over into the way that AgriPower does things. And I ended up standing down there a year and a half because they asked me to be their service manager. So I was service manager down there for about a year and a half, came back home, quote unquote home, was a service manager in Mayfield, Kentucky at another one of our locations for another 8 months, kind of a transitional period. And then in 2014, they moved me over to sales because we had a salesman retiring in Hopkinsville.
Right.
And that's where I am now.
Very cool, man. So getting into it, when you started setting your foot into it, you at least had a background in the stuff you were selling, which is huge.
Yeah, I felt like I had a good base. That was important to me because I didn't want to go into it blind. I love people. I'm a people person. You know, that's kind of why.
But knowing the people, but also knowing how the products are applied in a practical sense so you can relate to your customer.
100%.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have, like when I sold Honda, I could relate to my customers, especially when it came to a minivan.
Yep.
Because I had kids and I understood how we used our minivan, and especially to parents who were looking to move up or get a bigger vehicle. I could say, look, you know, down here we can, you know, take the back seats and fold them down. We got one up, one down.
That's right.
All this, you know, typically what we do, we leave the one seat up. You have the child that can get down there, and you got more room over here for whatever strollers and everything.
Right.
So, I mean, once you have the practical applications now. For me, all that ended when I sold Mercedes because they would never let me take the damn cars home, right?
I'm with you.
Yeah, but I mean, it never made any sense.
Yeah, you got to get that disconnect there.
Well, I mean, yeah, this work on the, I don't know. I don't know how or why I would use it.
Yeah, what's the practical application?
Right.
You know. I'm super blessed. My brother runs our farming operation. He's 3 years older than me. So, you know, getting to come up and learn from him and with him along the years and having my dad, my grandfather there. As two shining examples of not only what businessmen should be, but what real men should be and how they should act and stuff coming up was a really good thing.
What was the first time you realized when you got in front of a customer? Because there's always that first time where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm taking it up,
yeah.
right? you get in front of a customer and all of a sudden you have that moment of, okay, I can totally do this. Was that your first? How many customers in were you?
Man, I'm going to say, and this is as crazy as it sounds, it was probably one of my bigger sales when that happened for me, because I was the most in my element. When I'm in my element, I'm showing a customer how to use a piece of equipment.
Right.
And we're in the piece of equipment together and we're riding. And that's when I feel at home. And that's when I feel like, okay.
Test drive.
I'm good. Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, I'm a big guy of let's make it work for you before you buy it to see if it's the right thing for you. Because, I mean, if I sell you something and you're dissatisfied with it, what's the point?
Well, you know? I mean, in this realm, I would imagine that's really important because you got to find the specific piece of equipment that's going to accomplish the task that they need to have done.
It really is. And because, and it's like, I mean, it's like cars. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that we've got same model, but we've got how many different versions of that model?
But I mean, in the car aspect of it, there's a lot more leisure, you know, and comfort and relaxation. I mean, it's a general application for farm equipment. I would imagine you need a specific equipment to do specific tasks. It's more of a niche, I would think.
Can be, but it can't be. So the thing about that there is, you know, some customers like more luxury and are willing to pay for more luxury. It's like, take for our combine, for example.
Yeah.
Our combine has a package on it that is called the automation package. Basically, you tell the combine what's acceptable and it adjusts itself. Other customers feel like they can get by without that, and they don't want to pay the upcharge for that. When in all reality, it's just making your operation more efficient.
Right, right. But I mean, over time, is there like a payoff that you can kind of tie in, or is it just nothing but...
In some of the applications, it is. Like in our sprayer technology and stuff, you can kind of, you know, calculate a ROI out for, you know, two to three years and say, hey, you're going to get your money back for this then. And then, you know, of course, when they trade it in, they've got something that's worth more, too.
I mean, you're talking about high dollar equipment here, too, right?
Very big, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, what kind of dollars are we talking about, typically?
Before I came down here today, I made a $400,000 deal on one piece.
Do they have financing for that?
Absolutely.
30 years?
Yeah. No, it's usually 7 years max.
Oh, really?
What our guys go out.
So you're talking a big cash flow piece that they got to float every month.
Got to be, yeah. Well, they do it annually.
Right.
You know, it's based off annual payments and whatever the customers can make, you know, work in their operations. I mean, they're dealing with a guy that farms 8,000 acres is dealing with millions of dollars of income, right? So we got to try to figure out the tax write-offs and all that good jazz, which is a fun part of my job.
It's funny to see here numbers like that because you look at a lot of these guys on Instagram that are down in Miami selling yachts and boats and things of that nature, you know, leisure craft, and they're, you know, doing the pictures and all this other stuff. Everything looks glamorous, but you're actually selling a practical piece of equipment. Do you do something like that along the lines of Instagram and promoting yourself out like that? Or
I try not to.
You should, man.
But, you know, it's, I mean, my fun is I promote the leisure stuff too. I mean, you know, tractor pulling and all that kind of stuff. But and the hard thing about that is, you know, the guys selling the leisure products and stuff, there's probably more money.
Yeah, margin. They're all about,
yeah, there's probably more margin percentage in that than there is a piece of efficient equipment.
Really?
Probably, yes. I wouldn't doubt it.
What are you looking at, 10 to 15% profit on those things?
If you're lucky.
Really?
Yeah.
Because that's about what it was in Mercedes.
Yeah, if maybe, you're lucky.
Yeah, if you're lucky, about maybe 20%.
Yeah, because, I mean, here's the thing you got to realize, man. I mean, I've got a $10 million budget every year that I've got to make, and I have the same customers that I have to sell to every year. You know,
you so, can't expand your market share at all?
You can, but we're also limited because, I mean, like, take us, for example. We have 17 locations.
Right.
So we're bumping up. We're bumping against ourselves quite a bit. You know,
I got
but
you.
We're also fighting other competitors, too. I mean, John Deere has, you know, roughly 60-65% market share in the ag sector today. Mm-hmm. So then you got three other main manufacturers fighting for the last 40%.
Right.
What are you going to do?
But, I mean, you know, 20% or 15% off of a... $400,000 piece of equipment, you're still talking $80,000, right?
Could be, yeah.
But 80 grand.
Not very often that happens.
And then you get a commission spiff off of that of whatever percentage it is. So you're doing pretty well, I would imagine.
It's easy to think that, but when the brass tacks come down and the numbers come out to it, the thing that is in my mind, I've been on both sides of that table before, and these guys, they're not only our customers, man, but they're like family to us.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, not only, you know, paying a price for a piece of equipment is one thing, but getting to take care of those guys and being out on their farmer operations and basically kind of being an unpaid, you know, advisor to their farmer operation is worth a lot to us.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to say we're a charity out here. You know, everybody's got to make
money. You got to make your money.
Make the world go round. But I mean, we're not out here trying to make a killing, especially in times we're in right now.
Now, one of our customers here at Big Dot is MHC Kenworth here in Nashville. And I used to work with those guys doing a lot of video walk-arounds on their tractors.
Yeah.
And those guys do really well. Because, I mean, you're looking at you're looking at $35,000 to $50,000 used vehicles on average.
Yeah.
You know, for the tractors. But for their markup, I mean, they had some leg in there.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think that's any industry. I mean, really and truly, any industry, you know, the margin and the percentages and stuff is definitely on the used side. And it really depends on where the used equipment comes from and what deals you get to make on the new side and how good you get it bought.
Are you getting financing deals and new specials and incentives that come down for the manufacturer? So they do the same thing the car business does.
Oh, yeah. In a way. Sure. Yeah. And Case IH is run by a car company, Fiat. Fiat owns Case IH.
Really?
So, yeah. I mean, they bring some of that down into our world as well.
Oh, yeah. So getting into it, I mean, getting your relationships and everything over time, how does that kind of work out?
I tell you, my customers are some of the closest people to me in the world. You know, my phone never shuts off, to be honest. I mean, my guys, they know that anytime they need me, they can call me, and I'm going to get them anything they need, whether that be parts, because I used to be a parts guy, so I can still look up parts and go to the dealership if I have to. But we're blessed with really good people at all of our dealerships that understand the service after the sale aspect of it.
That's huge.
Yeah, it is. The building of the relationships is the hardest. I'm not going to say it's the hardest part, but it's the most important part, because when you talk about selling and stuff like that, I'm going to say at least 85% of that is relationship.
Totally.
It's got to be.
It's all be them centric.
That's right.
I have a hashtag saying called be them centric.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's always more about them than it is you.
It is.
Until it is about you, and then it still isn't about you, and it's still more about them.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And social media and advertising, everything.
Yeah. You know? I mean, staying in touch with them. I mean, staying in touch, you've got to make your calls. You got to be on the farm. You got to be in the field. You've got to, you know, get invited to those personal things for your customers, and you've got to be there with them and build that relationship and let them know that you're there for more than just, you know, to get their money. You know, you're there to take care of their operation.
Now, that $10 million annual budget you got to hit, is that your goal or is that your company's goal for you?
That's what our company sets for me.
Does that go up every year too?
Pretty much.
Last year it was what, 8?
It was 9.5, something like that.
So you got to hit 10 this year.
It's close to 11 this year.
Yeah. So you got to take your existing base and to try and expand them up to whatever it is that you can expand them up to or find new customers.
That's right. Internet calls help out with that a lot.
Right.
You know, increase in cost of machinery helps out with that, unfortunately.
Right.
You know, but and the thing is, you know, to build those relationships to where, you know, you feel like, hey, okay, you've got this equipment. I've sold you this 3 or 4 years ago. It's getting some hours on it. Our cost of maintenance is getting up there to where we probably would be better off taking
switch
that.
You out.
Yeah, because you've got X amount of dollars you're going to spend on equipment, whether it's in an equipment payment, maintenance, whatever. I mean, you've got that X dollar number that you're going to spend. So depending on how your tax situations and everything like that, and your debt to equity ratio and all that kind of stuff works out, I mean, sometimes it's just better off to go ahead and upgrade a machine.
How long does it take for someone to actually transact, you know, buy a piece of equipment?
I made that deal this morning. It'll be on the farm next week.
But I mean, from hey, here, yes, I want to move forward to, you know, see the car, see the keys, see you later.
As soon as I can get the credit app put in, he can sign it.
Really?
We deliver it to the farm.
Because like selling trucks was like selling houses. It was pulling teeth.
Yeah.
I never sold trucks, but people who I know worked in the business.
Right.
It was like selling a friggin' house.
Yeah, it's not bad for us. I mean, like I said, CNH Industrial Capital is our main financing entity that we go through.
Yeah.
We work a lot with Farm Credit too. I mean, they're all used to the farmers and their operating lines and that sort of
thing. Those are business loans.
That's right.
That you have to facilitate, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting. So talk about it. How did you get into the tractor pulling aspect of things?
My family started off doing that. My grandfather and his brother started doing it in the 70s. Then my dad followed along and started doing it in the 80s. My dad got out of it when my older brother was born in 86 or 85. Then I was born in 88. And my brother got into the farm stock pulling county fair type thing back in the days, and you could pull it into the shop, and it was a really fun thing for us to do, because all the guys at the dealership, you know, that worked on the tractors all day during the week, you know, we would get different pumps and turbochargers and put on these farm tractors and go, and it would be like the whole dealership was a team.
It was like a parts shootout.
Yeah, and then we'd go and run, you know, and we all had matching shirts, and we pulled in different weight classes, and it was a hoot. I mean, it was a good time. And a few years later, I pulled, you know, farm stock class with my brother too, and then he graduated up to what they call a super stock tractor. Right. Mm-hmm. A few years later, I got my first high horsepower rig, and it's just, I've been in it close to 15 years now.
So you're just like, hey, you know, sure, why not? I'll try it.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of one of those things. I was a big basketball player.
Right.
Right.
So you got the height for it.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, I just didn't get the jump for it. Right. So I wear a size 14 shoe. My feet are as flat as the floor. Right. So I was in a lot of pain. Started getting hurt a lot. I could have gone to college and played, but I was like, you know, that whole tractor pulling thing, I think that'd probably be a lot more fun. Right. And we could do that for a lot longer than I could play basketball. So let's do that.
There you go.
And my grandpa loves it too. I mean, that's the biggest thing. It's a family thing for us. And my grandpa loves it. My dad loves it. We're all in on it, you know. And my grandpa, as long as he wants us to do it, as long as he keeps enjoying it,
you're like the character they freaking write about in country music.
Hey,
these country rock songs.
I'm just a country song waiting to be written.
You really are. I mean, and there's something to be said about that. It's Americana.
Well, you know, it's what Americana should be.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
It's not going down on the corn row with the pretty pink toes up on the dash anymore.
That's right. No, we don't do that.
It doesn't do it. Nobody does that. Or
not really.
Down, mudding down Blue Hole Road.
Yeah, we can do that still. Yeah. Mudding's still a
thing. How many Blue Hole Roads are there?
I've got two on my farm.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is that a type of road, or is it the name of a road?
Well, Blue Hole is like a natural water-dwelling spring that comes up from the road.
I didn't know that.
Or comes up from the ground.
I'm learning here.
You know, it's a natural ground-fed spring type deal.
Blue Hole Road.
Yeah.
Because that's a song lyric.
So the road is a hole that leads down to a Blue Hole.
Right.
And then you go skinny dipping down there, according to the country songs.
That's right. Supposedly.
Supposedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly, these types of activities happen at night. You know, when you're fishing in the dark.
I'm going to plead the fifth.
Yeah. It might happen. It might not, you know.
But I heard a couple songs. So yeah. I'm going to go with maybe.
It's like, you know, you see these movies about, you know, the mafia and guys in cornfields going, you know, yeah, we got rid of the guy. You know, let's forget it. We did that thing and
forget about it.
We got some dirt on our shoes and alleviated the problem.
Got rid of it.
It's all right. No, nothing. Package has been delivered.
Forget about it.
So with that being said, I'm just going to go ahead and ask. We're going to find something here.
What's your problem?
Darren, what kind of problems are you having these days doing what you do?
Man, you know,
I could already assess one.
What's that?
I think you need to promote yourself.
Think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you're an expert in what you're doing, and you can take pretty pictures of really cool stuff and equipment and everything, and make an Instagram account, why not?
I always want to keep the expectations low.
No.
So then if we deliver over that, it's fantastic.
But man, just think of how much more business you could generate. That's another revenue stream you could create.
I'm already sleeping 4 hours a day. Hey. What else can I do?
It'll take you 10 minutes. Just take a picture. I used to tell people in Mercedes, just take pictures of taillights and headlights.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
That stuff
can really go.
It can. Yeah. Which is the wrong color for that to hit on the mainstream media, but it's fine.
Well, what's your color? What's the...
We're red. The green guys get all the glory.
Be red.
Yeah. Well, we're red.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
So what are some of the problems you're having?
I'm going to say right now, I think the industry as a whole, I guess, and where we're at is in a dealership, as a whole, is how to fight that technology phase of and convenience phase, call it the Amazon model, right?
Okay.
To where people, you know, kind of where they can...
Commoditization, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Okay. But, you know, but still keep that family-owned dealership feel to the business that the fathers and the grandfathers and stuff, you know, like. Because an intricate part of that, you know, in my profession is, you know, I'm dealing with the dads and the granddads right now.
Right.
You know, but I also have to build a relationship with the sons and the grandsons, you know, coming up.
The upcoming generation.
Yeah, because, and they make decisions two totally different ways.
Yeah.
You know, so building that relationship can be difficult. But trying to change our dealership, because our dealership's been in business 30 years.
Yeah.
And
doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, right. But it's the, we've always done it that way.
Oh, no, that's freaking, oh, dude, that's, you know, got to watch that.
So, but, and that's what I'm saying. So trying to stay with the technology and trying to pull all of that stuff in to where it's one good, neat package.
Well, the biggest problem you're going to have are those who think, well, we've always done it this way. You're living in a changing world, man.
Some days.
Yeah.
And the agricultural world is changing by the second.
It is. You know, like anything else.
That's
It's quickening now. And now you're dealing, like with what you said, the people who are in it and the generations down the road who are on Instagram, dude, who are on TikTok.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
If you started doing a TikTok, you could probably have 100,000 followers by the end of the month.
It's crazy.
If you just started figuring out how to use TikTok and make a name for yourself and the dealership, because, you know, number one rule of sales is what? Sell yourself.
That's right.
Right? Then sell the product, then sell the dealership.
That's right.
That's the process. What kind of things do you read? Do you read sales books or motivational books, self-improvement, anything like that? Or
I get such an overflow of technology and information on a daily that usually the only thing I have time to read is my Bible.
Right.
And that's, I kind of shut
off. That's enough self-help right there.
I kind of shut off and go outside after that. Because, I mean, I pack two phones. I know you didn't see me come here. I pack two phones. I've got an iPad, a laptop. I mean, dude, I've got so many electronic leashes that it never shuts off. But, you know, I like reading business things. Dr. Jim Weber out of Florida has a really good business mind and a business sense. And he advises, you know, our dealership and stuff. And
is he a sales trainer?
He does
business
any kind
coach,
of training.
Sales
yeah,
coach.
He gotcha. Just everything. He's just freaking amazing.
Yeah.
But you know, that's kind of the thing right now, to where, you know, not only do we face that with our customers, but we also face that in the people that we're hiring in too.
Yeah.
Right? Because I mean, the thing today is, okay, my biggest customer has a tractor go down or has an issue with one of his pieces of equipment. Guess what happens? My cell phone goes off.
Yeah.
And it's not my customer. It's the tractor telling me, hey, I'm having a problem. So then we call our service department, you know. And those guys, I mean, we've got to get guys that are proficient in technology, but still know how to work on things and diagnose things that a computer can't.
Right.
And that whole the diagnostic part of that is the thing that it's really hard to find, and you got to pay for today. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's another thing coming in, you know, guys that still understand that, you know, the service after the sale. I make the first sale.
Yeah.
You know, I have the easy job. I make the first sale.
You got a service department that a lot of the life of the relationship depends on that advisor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, you touch base from time to time when they're ready to pull the trigger on some new piece of equipment.
I'm super involved in all my accounts. I mean, I really am.
There's a guy, there's so many parallels here that I'm drawing, you know, and you could almost be this one guy that I have in mind that I'm going to tell you about. He's in the car business. When I first started becoming aware of him was in 2014 or so. His name is Mike Davenport. He's out of Bachman Chevrolet, which is in Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, you could probably just go there and visit him, pick his brain if you ever wanted to, whatever. You know, he might actually be able to plug you into other people that he knows that are in the area, but he has become an almost nationally known salesman, car salesman.
Yeah.
He was the premier Corvette expert in this part of the country, to the point where someone found out he was going to Vegas. Somebody in Vegas, he was going out there for a car show, found out he was coming, reached out and said, hey, I want to pick your brain about a Corvette I want to buy, and I know you're the guy.
For sure.
And he sold a Corvette to a guy in Vegas out of their market.
Wow.
If I'm a Chevy dealer, I'm like, what the crap?
Yeah, what is going on?
You know what I mean? But that's the power of personal branding, man.
It is, yeah.
If you're the expert, be the expert.
Yeah. That's a problem I have too. You know, I never want to make it about me. Just because
you have to.
But there is so many other people that, I mean, that's a very small part in what I do.
It is about you, but if you have that be them centric attitude, if you know your audience and they love looking at pictures of tractors, learning new things about them, it's not about you. It's about the tractor. It's about the value, the information you're offering in that particular venue, whether it's TikTok, Instagram. I was just telling Jennifer about this, about how she could possibly, we talked about an idea, which is almost like a cause branding type of thing. Mm-hmm. There are influencers out there that you know, take pictures of themselves in various states. Some dude figure out a way to create a channel taking pictures of the influencers. He calls it Influencers in the Wild.
Okay.
And it's hilarious to watch. There's another channel of dudes just sitting up on jetties and inlets watching boats go by. They made massive channels out of it.
Guaranteed.
You laugh, but it's amazing.
It's, I mean, it's insane, the stuff that works.
Yes.
That's what's so funny. It's then, like, man.
Broadway Uncensored that looks at all the people that make asses out of themselves up on Broadway in Nashville.
Yeah.
There's a whole...
So that's a huge Jennifer, market,
I said,
by the way.
in your polling circles, there's got to be some sort of behavior. You can make a channel out of it.
Oh, wow. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Qualified Captain is another one. You should check those guys out. Qualified Captain. All boaters being idiots.
Some of the things we've seen, I'm telling
right.
you.
Right.
Insane.
I'm telling you, you got $1 million idea. $1 million idea. You're shaking your head.
Maybe 100,000. No? Maybe.
I'd say within 5 years, it could be $1 million idea. You get some merch and everything and a qualified captain-esque type of idea.
They would want to know why I'm behind the camera.
That's right.
But you're not behind the camera. Eventually, people just start submitting stuff to you.
There you go.
I know.
Because they're all around the country and they're catching this stuff. Oh, I got to submit this to whatever the name of the channel is.
The worst part about tractor pulling is nobody cares about it.
Except for the people who are involved.
Because it's so awesome. But I mean, like anybody that we tell about, they're like, oh, that's cool. But that's we do a terrible big, job branding.
Dude, if you see it on ESPN, there's a pretty big deal behind it, I would imagine.
Yeah. I wish we could make
it. But it doesn't have to be just about tractor pulling. It could be about drag racing. It could be about, you know, Monster Jam. Yeah. All that stuff. There's got to be something there. Jennifer, I would actually look into that. Seriously.
There's a few people that are like making their way towards that.
Beer money pulling team.
Definitely making his way towards that. And there's another guy that's doing it, but there's some crazy stuff that happens. At
I'm telling you, next time you go to a poll, is this the kind of thing that Jim is talking about? Let me just get
bring
it on video.
You just need to come.
But I'm like,
hey, that
I'm a camper, right? I go RVing.
Yeah.
I was thinking about starting a qualified camper channel.
You just need to come to Bowling Green and camp. You would get enough content
I told
for
you.
2 years.
I've camped at KOA.
No, you need Bowling Green, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
The biggest tractor pull in the world.
Really?
Yeah, the biggest tractor pull in the world.
Yep. Dude, if you go there, just freaking start the channel. Start putting content up.
It would be insane.
You're going to thank me in like a few years. Same thing with you. But I mean, the Chevy dude, like I was telling you about.
Right.
The dude has got, what's his lady? He's got merch. He's got shirts he sells. He's got over 250,000 YouTube subscribers. He's got the big gold play button that they give you. I'm telling you, man. You're missing out on it. I would jump on it if I were you. Give it some thought.
I will think about this.
Yeah. Just start small. You don't have to freaking climb the mountain in one leap.
That's,
you know what I mean?
I'm with you.
Just put up a TikTok or I would just start with TikTok.
Yeah, I'm not a TikTok fan.
Neither am I. But you know what? I put up freaking promos of this podcast. They go nuts.
Well, there you go.
Get
now you
audience.
Got me on there. Now it's really going to go crazy.
Man. They go nuts.
Whoa.
Wow, it's crazy.
Mr. Case. Crazy. Over here. Like crazy. Fantastic.
I just see that. Whenever I get really excited when I see the potential in something.
Well, cool. Hey, I'm with it. I dig it. And I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You could be the Chevy dude of your world.
The Chevy dude, like a rock.
Like a rock.
Like the rock.
Yeah.
That's this guy.
Mike Davenport.
Right here.
I mentioned his name enough. He ought to get be paying me for this right now.
Mike Davenport.
LouvilleChevyDude.com.
Mike Davenport.
Yeah. Check him out. I mean, you see what he's doing. The dude is monetizing those channels.
I'm definitely going to look into it because, I mean, and really that's a way to build brand awareness.
Totally.
If you think about it. Not only mine, but I mean, Case IH's brand awareness too.
But, you know getting around the headspace of, well, I don't want it to be around me, about me.
Yeah.
It isn't about you. Make it about the tractor. You're just the delivery.
Yeah, that's what I want it to be.
Right.
Yeah, because the hard thing about being a salesman is everybody just sees the salesman. Nobody sees the people behind the scenes that are getting the stuff financed, that are working like crazy to, you know, be sure the transactions are closed on time and to be sure the financing is done and be sure the pieces he's trading in are paid off and, you know.
They're making them a part of it.
The people that trained me. My God, those people. They deserve a lot of credit because, I mean, I'm no Chevy guy, Phil Davenport.
But the thing is a lot of what you're talking about, you like I said, you don't have to jump to the top of the mountain. You just take one step,
right?
And to start... okay, simplify the process. If I start with, I would start with TikTok all day long. I just set up an account, figure out a cool handle that you can put out there, you know, the case guy or whatever, you know, on the case, whatever.
Special case.
Yeah, special case. Not a bad idea. Nice. That's actually pretty cool. And then just make it all about that kind of, make it, you know, show the sexiness of the brand, you know, talk about the different aspects of whatever financing is going on. Why not put it out there?
Yeah.
You know, take those videos, then cross pollinate them over to Instagram and start building that up.
There you go.
You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden you might start doing YouTube videos down the road. It's free advertising.
Yeah. I do a little bit of that. No. My buddy owns a turbocharger company, Apex Turbo. And I do a little bit of that because I'm the social media guru of the group. So right. We've got Facebook.
Are you doing a lot of this stuff already?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like speaking into a void.
No. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I mean, I'm very basic. I mean, we're doing Facebook posts. We're doing Instagram post stuff right now. That's kind of what we got going on.
For the dealership?
For my buddy.
For your buddy. Okay.
Yeah, for my buddy's company.
I'm telling you, do it for you.
Yeah.
They'll thank me.
I definitely will.
Just be, you know, consistent. Just start one a week.
Yeah.
You know, and just think, part of my job, I got to figure out what can I put out this week that's going to promote us. You've got a sexy product and you've got a market that's going to think it's sexy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like when I worked at Mercedes, I should have been, you know, snapping away and taking pictures. That's what I used to do. I started branding myself.
Right.
And eventually people just started coming to me from all the different areas around here because we sold much more than just Mercedes. We sold certified pre-owned and used cars and stuff. So I became known as the guy who was just a efficient, fair, you know, easy to deal with type of salesman, and people would just send people my way.
And that's another thing of our job is, so we're Case IH dealership, but we sell Case IH, New Holland, Kubota, and a plethora of short line stuff. I mean, basically everything on your farm.
What does short line mean?
Everything on your farm that you could need is what we sell, like Great Plains, tillage equipment.
You sell regular lawnmowers and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you are got a freaking, I don't see anybody doing that.
We've got a guy.
There's a guy on TikTok that shows himself, he's a lawn guy. He just takes care of lawns. He's got like 350,000 followers. He puts up his camera, his phone, and he shows like, I'm edging the freaking sidewalk. And he just shows little tips on how to take care of your lawn.
Yeah.
He's got a massive freaking audience.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
I don't doubt it.
You're sitting on a gold mine. And if you can be the expert, be the expert. It's not about you until it is. You know what I mean?
I buy it.
I'm just saying. What do you think, Jen? No, you don't like the idea?
No, I think it's a great idea.
Right?
I really do.
I like him. I think he'd be great at it.
He just may not have enough time to do it.
I'm a likable guy.
You're a completely likable guy.
He said you're likable.
But if all of a sudden... You know, everybody, whenever you say, I don't have time for it, it's kind of like a lame excuse. I get what you're saying because I say the same thing, but we can always find time to do something that's worthwhile.
Can.
Right? Maybe. If we really want to.
You've never been in the charge pulling world.
You've never been in the car business.
Time goes into it.
Car business takes over your entire life.
If it makes me money, I got time.
Right. But this is legacy type of stuff that you could really be building on that, you know, you don't have to prospect. They just come to you. You become a person of interest.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
The equipment does that on the internet for us, you know, a little bit.
Right.
But I mean, they're not calling because they see my face or name on it. They're calling because it says, hey, call that guy if you want to buy that piece.
But I mean, if you did that over time and you were the guy and you started getting all these different leads coming, hey, maybe someone's hitting you up on YouTube. Somebody's hitting you up on TikTok, on Instagram.
Yeah.
Those are non-conventional. Now you're showing your dealership, hey, we got to take this seriously. Because there's gold in Demdar Hills, and the upcoming generations, that's where their attention is. That's what they're looking at.
I'll agree with that.
Right?
Because, I mean...
You might as well be first.
Guys are trending a little bit towards trading in stuff and trying to sell it their own way online.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, so Facebook, Marketplace, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of my guys are on there, so...
I would just say, start with this. Look at what Davenport's doing, Mike Davenport, Louisville Chevy dude, and just start... emulating what he's doing
for yourself. Yeah, no doubt.
Totally.
I mean, if it's something that can help me, you know.
Like, what's your 5-year goal? Where do you want to be in 5 years?
Sales management.
Sales management?
Yeah.
Oh, big mistake.
I know. It's not where the money is.
Totally, no. What do you want the headache?
Yeah.
You're one guy.
It's a lot more fun just to be a salesman. It really is.
But, especially when you become the rock star.
If I can become that rock star.
Yeah, not if, dude. Come on. You just when. What does Yoda say? Do or do not, there is no try.
I'm with you.
Right?
Hey.
You can do this. You could totally do this. I met you freaking an hour ago, and I believe you can do it.
Well, I got you sold. I'm a salesman, man. That's what I'm supposed to do, right?
I've been doing most of the talking, man. I'm just listening to what you're saying. You know what you're talking about. You're affable. You got a good look to you. Why not? Run with it.
I mean, hey, got to try something. Absolutely. Everybody always looks for that one thing. You know, everybody, I think their whole life, everybody's like, man, just if I could just get that one thing, if I could just do that one thing, you know, just set me apart, make me different. I mean, everybody wants to.
This is that one thing. Nobody's doing this on that I can see. That's promoting farm equipment.
Welker Farms. You ever heard of Welker Farms?
No.
On YouTube, you should look them up. They're big Case-H guys out in Texas.
Right.
They do quite a bit of that.
Do they?
Yeah, but they're farm guys. I mean, they're farm. They don't do equipment. There's farmers.
That's okay. There's plenty of room.
Yeah.
You could start, you know, there's a lot of salespeople. There's Mr. Mercedes. I think that's what he's called on YouTube. I think he's got over 1 million subscribers.
It's insane.
Just making videos.
Of what?
Mercedes-Benz cars. All the when they come out, the brand new ones. He does walk-arounds, all that stuff. All the stuff I was doing in 2014, 2015.
How often does he do new content?
I don't know. I would have to look. But I would say at least 2 to 5 times a month.
2 to 5 times.
Yeah. But I mean, again, he's some of the major pieces that he's doing, like the real in-depth walk-arounds, are simply, hey, I'm on my phone, I'm just going to do an in-depth, and it's 25 minutes long. And
yeah.
People watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The full 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's insane.
It is, because they'll sit down and want to learn about the car.
Right. But our brand, Case,
yeah,
they'll do like an intro video, you know, and like a release video and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah.
If I knew how to do all that stuff behind the scenes to make it cool and be and have the wow factor.
Work with what you have, man. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
It's the content that counts.
Yeah. I'm a big GoPro guy.
Yeah. Do use GoPros.
It works. Yeah.
GoPros work fine. You know, I think you can get pretty good sound quality off if you're doing a vocal.
Oh, yeah.
But you got the nice fisheye lens. It encompasses a lot of the scene that you're shooting. So you don't have to get into the weeds on production. Trust me, I do this for a living.
Well, if I do this, you got to follow me and like help me.
Absolutely,
push this,
absolutely. Right, well, speaking of that, because I got to wrap up, where do people find you? I mean, you have a channel already.
For what?
Anything that you're doing.
I'm on Facebook. Facebook, my personal page, James Darren Hunt. We've got a Hunt Motorsports page. We've got a Hunt Motorsports website,
and that's your pulling stuff, right?
Yeah, we've got a Hunt Motorsports YouTube account. You know, H&R AgriPower has a Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and I don't think we have a TikTok yet.
Right.
But we're working on it.
Well, I mean, I'll put all that stuff in the description so people can follow along and everything and get in contact with you.
Yeah, for sure. Because anything I do will come through one of those avenues, I'm sure.
And dude, if you ever need to pick my brain on this stuff, I'm more than happy to take your call.
Oh, you shouldn't have asked that. You shouldn't have said that, but because it will happen. Because I'm a big resource guy.
That's fine. However I can help you. I mean, that's Jen knows. This is a lot of what I do.
Yeah. Biggest thing for me, though, thank you for asking me to come down here and talk a little bit. I love to talk and, you know, get to know new people. And
my pleasure. It was great to meet you.
And stuff. I'm a super blessed young man. Got a really good family and been blessed my whole life just with very fortunate experiences that have led me to be where I'm at now. So
by
no means want to take all credit for that, but...
Well, if you guys want to get in touch with Darren, you know where to go. Look, check him out in the description area. You'll find all the links to get in touch and get to know him better and follow along with his story as he develops his Instagram and TikTok. It's going to be coming. Check us out at whatsyourproblempodcast.com if you want to like, follow along, subscribe, share, all that fun stuff. Even if, you know, you don't like the show all that much, give us a 1-star rating. I mean, it's something that... That will be appreciative. It's a rating, absolutely. And also, of course, just tell your friends if you're business or you know somebody in business who's got problems, refer them to us. Let us know. Hit us up at the website, whatsyourproblempodcast.com. Again, Darren, thanks for coming all the way down to the compound. Appreciate it and nice to meet you.
Hey, man. Thank you, guys. Nice to meet you.